Good day, and welcome to the SQM First Quarter 2013 Earnings Conference Call. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mark Phones, Vice President of Finance and Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to SQM's First Quarter 2013 Conference Call. For your information, this conference call will be recorded and is being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. Joining me today as speakers are Patricio de Solomeniac, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, and Ricardo Ramos, CFO. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performances, anticipated profitability, revenues, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements, as that term is defined under the federal securities laws. Any forward-looking statements are estimates, reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information, and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filing made with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And forward-looking statements should be considered in light of those factors. I now leave you with our COO, Patricio de Solomeniac, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Good morning, and thank you for joining the SQM Earnings Conference Call. I will start with a brief introduction before I open up the lines for questions. For the first quarter, gross profit was slightly better than both the first and the last quarter of 2012. Having said this, we expect the remainder of 2013 to be lower than the first part of this year. In the SP&N business line, we saw increased demand during the first quarter of 2013. During this strong quarter, our volumes increased over 35% when compared to the relatively weak first quarter of 2012. Most products within the SP&N business line saw higher sales volume during the first 3 months of 2013, which contributes to our increased revenues. However, as anticipated, average price for the business line fell about 3% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2012. On the potash side, it is anticipated that the total market demand will exceed market demand seen in 2012, although we have seen the impact of lower prices. We believe this market condition will continue throughout the years, as market demand is expected to surpass 54 million metric tons during 2013, an increase of about 8% over last year. As expected, the first quarter of 2013 showed strong sales volume of potassium chloride. Volume increased over 25% when compared to the first quarter of the previous year. We expect our total sales volume of MOP and SOP fertilizer from the Salar de Atacama to be over 20% higher than the sales volume seen last year. In the chemical markets, we are seeing healthy demand growth, which we expect to continue into 2014. However, new entrants to the lithium and iodine markets will capture some market share this year. In iodine, this new supply will continue to have an impact in our sales volume during the remaining of the year. As in the past, we are focused on maintaining our margin, and our first priority is to make sure the market demand is met. Average price during the first quarter remained at similar levels to those seen during the fourth quarter of 2012. This was in line with company expectations. Generally speaking, iodine market conditions were positive during the first quarter 2013, and we expect this trend to continue in the future. Demand in all main uses continue to grow: X-ray contrast media, LCD, and consumption related to pharmaceutical remain prominent use for iodine. As mentioned above, new lithium supply has also been added to the market. As a result, as seen during the first quarter of 2013, our sales volume for lithium and derivatives may decrease overall in 2013 to level lower to those posted in 2012. Notwithstanding, prices for lithium carbonate during the first quarter of 2013 were about 8% higher than average prices for lithium carbonate since during fourth quarter of 2012. Demand in the lithium market remains strong, and we expect demand in 2013 to be around 10% higher than demand seen in 2012. The lithium market continued to be driven mainly by battery growth, the historical demand driver for the lithium market, but with little impact from electrical cars today. For industrial chemical business line, our sales volumes were higher than sales volume in the first quarter we seen during the first quarter of 2012. However, we still expect volume in this business line to decrease significantly during 2013 compared to 2012, based primarily on the delay of the sales of solar salts, a powerful element used for alternative energy sources, as the market has seen higher financing costs for projects in the United States and Europe. Average price in the business line remained relatively flat compared to fourth quarter of 2012. Our CapEx plan this year is to total about $500 million. As mentioned in our press release, this amount includes general maintenance at our plant and facilities, expenditure at the Salar de Atacama to increase our potassium production. I thank you again for joining today. We will now answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Patricio. Operator, we may go now to Q&A session.
Thank you. We will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question will come from Fernando Ferreira of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. I had two questions today that called my attention from your press release. The first one is the comment that you expect to lose market share this year in both lithium and iodine to other players in the industry. I'd just like to know, for both lithium and iodine, who those players are and what amount of new product that you expect to come on stream this year. That's my first question.
Well, thank you, Fernando. Regarding lithium, we did have a weaker first quarter, but we think that we will recover volumes during the years, and volume we expect to be in the range of 5% less only than the year before. There was delays in shipment in the first quarter that we expected to catch up in the next quarters. Regarding the new entrants in lithium, we have Galaxy that has been producing in China. However, with many different problems that they have been publicly stated regarding the stop of their mine and buying from Talisong the spodumene for their plant, also the plant that they need to stop because of the accident. So there are many issues on that. They have been announcing that they will be going through get to their capacity of their plant. This is the short term. A little bit more longer term are the plant that's expected to start in Canada, which is Canada Lithium, that during this year they are announced that they will be ready to start sending product to the market. And the next one will be Orocobre in Argentina, that we don't think that they will be shipping any product during the year, but they will do so after that. Regarding iodine, we have a good first quarter. We expect that the production of Algorta, which is the expansion of the ACS here in Chile, will continue to ramp up their production to their capacity. So we expect that during the year in iodine, we should be around 5 to 7% lower than in volume than 2012.
That's very clear. Thank you. And my second question is the comment that you expect the remainder of the year in terms of results to be weaker than the start of the year. Also, if you could provide some more details on that front as well. Is it more related to this weaker volume factor, or is also counting the fact that potash prices have trended down? Thank you.
Well, there are many factors that influence that. As you know, clearly potash prices are lower. We expect that during the year they will not continue to drop. We expect that the price will continue more or less at the level that they are right now. That also influences prices in our SPM business line that we are seeing. We see average price during this year in the range of $50 less than the year before. And then, of course, which is important for the rest of the year, is in our industrial chemical business line, which we have a very good first quarter because it was the last shipment for the solar salts that we have during the first quarter. But as we have indicated, we don't see more shipment of solar salts the remaining of the year. So total volume in industrial chemical will go down in the range of 100,000 tons. So that also will influence that. And finally, of course, we continue to have pressure and cost. We are working on that. But, of course, the exchange rate together with the pressure in labor cost also influence us.
Perfect. Thank you.
Our next question is from Wesley Brooks of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. So just to follow on from the last comment you just made on your costs, I know you don't talk about costs by segment individually, but can you give us some thoughts of the cost inflation you're seeing in some of your main lines like labor, energy, and how that's, you see that trending over the next few quarters versus Q1, please?
Well, as I said before, and you are right, we do not disclose the cost structure in each of the business line, but in general, we have many common costs that affect all the business line. And as indicated in the previous question, one of the important factors that push our costs up is the labor cost. Chile, as you may know, is almost at full employment. Besides that, there is a lot of activity in the copper sector in the north where we have our operations. And third, the exchange rate has also influenced our cost in dollars because peso, we, of course, have our labor cost in peso-related currency. We can say that we are expecting around 5% more cost in total if we compare cost from this year to the previous year. We don't see that we will have much higher cost the next quarters than we have in the first quarter. We don't see nothing special in that respect.
Perfect. Thank you. And if I could ask another question on these lithium startups, please. Do you have a good feel for what they're like Galaxy? Obviously, they've been ramping up. They've had some issues, like you said. But do you have a good feel for where their cost might be and basically how profitable they can be with current prices?
I do not have any real specific information on their cost structure. Of course, I have some estimates because of the cost they have in the spodumene, which we know how much they're paying now buying the spodumene from Talison. So in our opinion, they have, of course, a much higher cost than us, but they have been given a lot of public information that probably you have seen regarding their situation. First, in the situation on the higher cost that they have in their own mine operation that finally they decided to stop. And second, with the accident that implied that they have to stop the plant for almost three months. Now they are going through trying to do an increase in capital, I understand. They are also publicly stated that. So I think it's a question mark that will happen. What will happen with them in the future? I do not have any specific more information than what they have published.
Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Ben Isaacson of Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My first question is on your market share erosion in lithium and in iodine. Can you just remind us in both of those markets where you are on the cost curve, where on the cost curve the new capacity is coming in? And I believe you're very low, if not first quartile on the cost curve. And so while your market share might erode, your volumes shouldn't change much. And so I just wanted to kind of get some color on why you're seeing lower volumes.
Thank you. First, as you know, there is not really public information like in any other or many other industries where you can see the exact cost structure of the different competitors. I will say that we are one of the few, if not the only one, competitor in the lithium and as well as in the iron industry that publishes results and have this conference call. So we really do not have access to our competitors. We have, of course, estimates. And going to the first part of your question, yes, our estimate is that in both of these business lines, we are one of the lowest cost producers. So for sure, we are in the first quarter, the first part of the cost curve in iodine as well in lithium. Regarding our strategy, well, it's different between these two business lines. In iodine, as we indicated in our press release, we are trying to, of course, optimize our margins. There has been an important change in the price level in the last 2 years, and especially in the last year. So right now, we are following very closely what is the reaction of the market, and especially the price sensitive, to these new price levels. We have seen that the market is accepting and is working with this new price level, which is very important for our margins. And of course, if we want to optimize our margins, we work on the volumes accordingly. We also think that long term, we are the and as we have proven in the past, we are the company that have the reserves and the technology and the possibilities to support the market growth, the market demand growth, and allow the few entrants that from time to time have come in, or the increased capacity from some of our competitors. And regarding lithium, as I say before, first quarter of this year, it was extremely weak, but basically because we have some volumes that we will recover during the second, third, and fourth quarter, so we don't expect to have that kind of lower volumes in lithium the rest of the year. On the contrary, we will recover some. But we are seeing an increasing price in the range of 8%.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And my second and final question is on potash. I believe you're expanding your capacity to about 2.4 million tons, and I was wondering the incremental capacity that you're bringing on, what is the specific CapEx for that? And then of the amount that's coming online, how much of it is going into the merchant potash market, and how much of it is going to go into your nitrates business?
thank you. Basically, we do know exactly how much will be the total new production. We think there will be in a range between 300 and 400,000 tons, so arriving to 2.3 or maybe 2.4. But right now we are more cautious and conservative, saying that probably by the end of next year we will have a 2.3 million ton total capacity. The total investment that we are doing in order to bring this up at the Salar are in the range of $240 million that will allow us to have these new volumes. And regarding how much of those will go to final to be sold at the SPN or gold, that will depend on how the SPN markets evolve. And of course, I would say that most will be going as a MOP sales.
Okay, and maybe I can just ask one final question, which is, what is the limiting factor to potash expansion at SQM? What is preventing you from going to 3, 4, 5, 6 million tons? Is it permitting issues in the Salar? I mean, what's the kind of long-term potash strategy?
You are right. It's a permitting issue. It's regarding the environmental study that we approved when we started the project, and we updated some in 2005. The permits of the Salar is regarding the amount of brine that we are allowed to pump out, which is related, of course, to the amount that we can produce. That is regarding to, you calculated that with three factors. One is the amount of volume that you take out of the Salar, which is the limit that we have. And second, the concentration of this brine. And third, the yield. So, of course, we have a limit. And according to an environmental study, if everything behave the way we anticipated, we can increase this limit. We are this year a new step to increase, and that's why we are increasing in these 300,000 tons. And then, I don't remember exactly by heart, but in 2 or 3 years, we will have an additional step if everything behaves our model, hydrological model anticipated. So that is the limit, and that's why we have to work with this framework.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you have a question, please press star and then one. And our next question is from Cesar Perez Nova of BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question relates to your CapEx guidance for 2013 and 2014, and also updating on your expansions in lithium and iodine, and what capacity levels would you attain post-completion. In addition, what would that mean in terms of mine optimization and cost levels post-completion? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cesar. Regarding the CAPEX, as we indicated in the press release in 2013, we have an estimated CAPEX of $500 million. And of that, we have an important part this year that is related to maintaining CAPEX. We have around $180 million of maintaining CAPEX in order to upgrade some of our older operations. And then we have the investment, and the most important part is regarding our increased capacity in potash in the Salar de Atacama. That is the main issue for this year. Regarding the investment plan for next year, we are, of course, working. We have not disclosed that yet, and we expect by the middle of the year or at the most during the third quarter, we will comment on the plan for next year. On principle, we think that the investment plan will be lower than this year.
Okay. And in relation to your expansions?
I'm sorry, you have a question also on iodine and lithium.
Yes.
Iodine, we are finishing the final step in our operation in Nueva Victoria. So we completed the full capacity of 12,500 tons of iodine. And also, we finished all the water supply for an additional expansion of 2,500 tons that we will not do it until is necessary by the market, but we wanted to be ready in from the permitting point of view, which we are ready, and also from the water supply, which was the most important thing to do. Regarding lithium, we have a total capacity of lithium carbonate today in place of 48,000 tons, and we are finishing a possible expansion up to 60,000 tons that we will decide during the year if we proceed or not, or when we proceed with that.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. And in relation to that, if you proceed with those projects, would that actually dilute costs? Could we see an improvement on the cost structure of the company?
Well, in the case of lithium, yes, because you produce more if it's just in the same plant that we will do some debottlenecking and addition of some equipment. So, of course, that will imply total lower cost. And regarding iodine, will be a completely new facility, so will be in the same range that we have today. I don't see dilution there.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
This concludes our question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Phones for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you all very much for joining us today, and we hope to have you with, us for the next conference call. So goodbye, everyone.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.